and of the household of God. Everyone say, now therefore, I'm no longer a stranger nor a foreigner, but I'm a fellow citizen with the saints and of the household of God. If you're glad about that, let's just give God some praise right now for that. Ah, we praise you, mighty God. Verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Would you say we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. God bless you. You can be seated. If you love his word, give him thanks and praise for it this morning. Ah, we magnify your name. No, let's give him high praise for his word. We glorify you. We praise you. We thank you for the privilege of handling your word in this house today. Praise God. Praise God. You want to continue to be in prayer with Brother George. That family's going to be in a position of difficulty for a while. Brother George is going to have a long period of rehabilitation with that that surgery on his heel, and you want to be in prayer for them. The whole Spanish midday group is going to be going out there today and taking the service and taking lunch, and you just want to think about George and Charlotte. Pray for them, and if God impresses you to do something really sweet for them, you do that, because they're gonna have a season of time here that's very challenging. Everybody say praise the Lord. All right. We're no more strangers, but citizens. I rarely ever see the word stranger that I don't think about Ashley and our education of our children concerning strangers. And there's little books about strangers, and there's always, and then they want to know, is that person a stranger? Or is this person a stranger? And so we had a little book, and the little poem in the book was real cute, and her distorted language at the time was pretty cute. And so it went like this: when you're swimming in a pool and a crocodile begins to drool, swim away and remember this rule: never talk to strangers. And so they were strangers to her for a period of her life. A stranger is an outsider, somebody you don't know, somebody that doesn't belong, somebody that has no vested interest, somebody that you don't have confidence in. We're not prejudiced against them in any specific way, but we are prejudiced in the fact that they are an unknown to us. And an unknown is potential good, but a potential danger. And so you don't walk unwittingly and openly into the circle of a stranger without being on some, at least in some degree, on guard. But we are no more strangers and aliens in terms of the kingdom of God, but we are citizens. Praise God. Now, when we're talking and using these terms, citizens or fellow citizens, there's a very specific criteria involved, a very specific description involved with that. It means you belong. It means you're not a stranger. It means there's some knowledge. There's some commonality. There's some reason and some substance to the relationship. So we're no longer strangers, but now we're a part of the kingdom of God. Well, praise God. We embrace visitors when they come in the house. We're glad when visitors come to the house and to worship with us. But you are a visitor and you are a stranger, and we want to make you feel welcome in this house because it's God's house. And God says it ought to be a house of prayer for all people. And we're so glad that you came in the house today. But what just happened to Sister Rosa today is that she took a giant step in regard to being a part of the kingdom of God. And she was born again of the water and of the Spirit today. And something changed in the dynamic between us. Somebody say praise the Lord. Because now not only is she in the house and welcome, but now she is part of the house and part of the family and part of the kingdom of God. And it all happened because of her obedience and her response to the word of God. And now she belongs to God, and consequently, she gets a lot of openness from the house of God and the people of God because she belongs to him. Somebody say, praise the Lord. This is a sense of belonging. You're not a stranger anymore. There's a huge national discussion right now about citizenship. It's a huge political area this morning that's out there in the media and around the coffee pots at work about citizenship, because there are so many people that are in the country right now that are in limbo, that are not in a place. They are citizens of another place, but they're not citizens of this place. But it doesn't matter if you're in the United States or you're in some country in the Middle East or you're in China or wherever you are, there is a special privilege and a special responsibility associated with citizenship. You have a special privilege. If you're not a citizen of that place, there are some things that you can't participate in. If you are a citizen of that place, there are some special responsibilities that are visited upon you. And so this is a very specific criteria, this business of citizenship. Not just anybody can walk into a country and become a citizen. When you fly into a foreign country, there's a place in every airport and at every port of entry, if it's a seaport or an airport or a railhead, there's always a customs officer or office or multitude of customs officers, and you have to have your passport, and you've got to have a visa, or you've got to have identification, and you've got to declare why you're there and how long you're going to stay there. And they look at you with a very scrutinizing eye, because they might let their citizenry right on in. They don't worry about them at all. They don't inspect their luggage, but they'll go through your luggage. They don't inspect their passport, but they'll inspect your passport, because you're a stranger. You're an outsider. You're not a citizen of that place. And so this is widely recognized. It involves very specific criteria and definition and very specific privileges and responsibilities. And in this 19th verse, at the end of that, he says, and of the household of God. And then there's a further refinement of this discussion of relationship. Now you're not just a citizen, but now you're family. Now you're a part of the household of God. And so I didn't just come and join a country, but I came into the Father's house and I became a part of the household of faith, a part of the family of God. The Bible says that the name of Jesus is the name of the whole family of God in heaven and in earth. Well, praise God. And so tonight, or rather today, we're excited about being a part of the household of God. Not all citizens are family. And this refines the criteria even more. There's something about this. You might be a fellow citizen with somebody in another city, but that's your commonality stops at the Constitution and at the civil liberties of residents and citizens of the United States. But when you're talking about family, somewhere there's an issue of blood. When you're talking about family, there's blood involved. And when you're talking about family, perhaps there's adoption involved. That makes you family. Somewhere along the line, you got a father connection or you got a mother connection. But you've got some very, very refined and specific connectives there if you're a part of the family. Well, I'm glad today that in the household of God, we are connected, but it's not just some thing like a political connection or a place that we happen to be born into or joined association in. But this morning, there's an issue of blood. Everybody that's a part of the family of God, everybody's joined together by the blood of Jesus Christ. Everybody's joined by adoption. We're all joined by the adoption process of the fact that God came down and by his Spirit has adopted us into the kingdom of God. It says that we are filled with his Spirit and we cry, Abba, Father. He's adopted us as sons and daughters. There is the business now that we might have had many earthly fathers, but now we've come under the canopy and under the name and the power and the authority of the only true and living living God, the Father of all. Well, praise God. We've all come to the same Father now. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what my gene pool looked like. It doesn't matter where I came from or what my heritage was or where I, how I got my my origins here. It doesn't matter what my family tree looks like. When we come into the house of God, now we're connected by blood and we're connected by adoption and we're connected by the Father. Well, praise God. We all have the same Father. And there's a connective by mother here. Because mother in this language and in this discussion is the church of the living God. There are only two ladies, two women in the life of God. One is Israel of the Old Testament. The other is the church of the New Testament. And this morning we are connected because we've all been born into the same mother. We're in the womb of the church of the living God. Well, praise God. How do you know that she's the mother that's connected with the Father? Because she bears the name of the Father. She took on his name. That's how you can always tell the mama. There's a lot of buildings with steeples, and there's a lot of buildings this morning with pulpits in them. But what you're really looking for is somebody that has taken on the name. Sister Rosa, when you went down in the water this morning, mama baptized you in the name of the Father and the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Ghost. He only used one name, but that name is Jesus, because he is the Father and he is the Son and he is the manifest Holy Ghost. Y'all clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Ah, praise God. Praise God. So we're connected. We're no longer strangers. We're citizens. We fill that criteria, and we're family, and we fill that criteria. And so being a part of the church is something very extraordinary and very, very special and very important to God. And he says that this is, you're talking about my wife. When Paul teaches about husbands and wives, he said, this is a mystery, but I'm really talking about Christ and his church. God's very, very, very interested in and connected to and in love with his church. And Paul later teaches about the communion in 1 Corinthians 11. And he talks to us and he tells us, many of you are sick and many of you sleep or you've died because you don't have proper regard for the body of Christ. You'd fail to understand the body of Christ. Now, there's a lot of different application to that. One is the physical Christ. You don't understand what he did for you. But the second is the church is his body. And you can't be in love with God and out of love with his body. You can't be connected with God and disconnected from his body. You can't follow God and not follow his body. I'm just telling you, we could do that all day long. But you can't be with God and not be with his body. Now, that's contrary to a lot of theology today. It's contrary to a lot of attitudes that come packaged in the American experience. We are so independent, and there's so much soft peddling of the gospel and so many shallow presentations of Christianity today that let you know you can just do it your own way. Go your own way. Sample here, dabble there. And it's just a big smorgasbord, or like going through a buffet line. It doesn't matter where you line up. I'm telling you, you got to be connected with the body. You've got to understand the body. You're born into the body. You've got to love the body. You've got to embrace the body. And if I was preaching on the body today, I would preach about the cross and how awful that body was when Joseph of Arimathea pulled it off that cross. How bloody and how mangled and how putrid and how smelly and how sickening it was. But he had to embrace that body. And he begged for the body. And this morning, there's a mandate in the Word of God. The body of Christ, it has to be covered by the blood. We've got problems. We've got sickness. We've got sins. We've got disturbed people and distorted lives, but it's all the body of Christ. You said, how can that be? We didn't come into the house a finished product. He's building us. He's making us. He's shaping us. But make no mistake, if it's filled with his spirit and it's covered by his blood, you better be very careful with it. Because it's not a stranger. It's a citizen. It has rights and privileges in the kingdom of God. And beyond that, it's family. You be careful with that. It's the family of God. It is his body that you're talking about. It's his body that you're laying your hand on. It's his body that you're fashioning attitudes about. Well, praise God. Praise God. If you love him, clap your hands into him and bless him. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Roderick, I do have a current birthday card on my desk for somebody, but we ambushed you there. Let you walk off out there all by yourself. I could have said, no, she's not here. Don't go. But I didn't. Just, this place needs management. Verse 20. We are family, we are citizens, and we are, verse 20, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. When you use the word built, it is explicit. Some things being built. Some things going through a process. It's not. It will be. And the process is called building. One of the operative terms in the New Testament is to edify. Husbands the husband has a job to edify the wife and edify the children. It means to build the wife and build the children. The body of Christ, the apostle teaches, edifies itself in love. And so you build the people around. You never tear down the people of God because we're fellow citizens together. We're in the same club together. We're family together, same blood, same father, same mother. And so you always build the people up. You never tear down the people of God. You never say it. I never tear down the people of God. That's right. That's right. You never, you don't want to be doing that. Because you're dealing with his children, his wife, and he takes it personally. Praise God. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. There's a process of building. And here in the Bible Belt especially, and if you're dealing with adults coming into the kingdom of God, there is some necessary destruction that has to take place before the construction can start. Because there are features and structures and lifestyles and attitudes and framing and things that are already built into that person that are not congruent with the kingdom of God, not connected or not connectable to the kingdom of God. You've just got to tear them down and build them back. And so when you walk in the house of God, you come packaged. And in the world, they're serving it up like this. That God's just going to come meet you on your terms. And God's just going to morph into a place where he can comply with who you are. Or meld with who you are. But God doesn't do that. God starts the relationship with an altar. And an altar is where things die. And you come to God. And those things that are not like God, they've got to die. So there's some destruction, especially in the Bible Belt here. There's all kinds of ideas and traditions and procedures and policies and theologies that are not like God. And so you come packaged with that and you walk into a first experience with the kingdom of God. And shock of all shocks, the thing that you believed is not in the Word of God. The thing that your mama taught you is not in the Word of God. And the thing that you've believed all your life and you define God like that, none of that's in the Word of God. And so that has to be destructed or torn down and moved out of the way. Bring in the heavy equipment. Bring in a track hoe. Bring in a bulldozer and get that out of your life. That's exactly what John the Baptist is talking about. He is the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 40 when Isaiah said, we're going to build a road for the King of Kings. We're going to make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And he talks about tearing down high places and building up low places and straightening out crooked places and making plain or smooth the rough places. He's not talking about road building and in civil engineering and heavy equipment. He's talking about the heavy equipment of the Word of God coming into your heart or into my heart and tearing down high things and low things that are not like God, and straightening out crooked things that are not like the kingdom of God, and smoothing out rough places that are not like the kingdom of God. That's what he's talking about. And John the Baptist, he encapsulates all of that with a single word sermon that says, repent! And he wants you to change your life and turn around and become like God's word. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And there's a process of reconstruction, being built. Now we've got to start all over again. You don't know what you need to know. You need to learn. You don't have what you need to have. You've got to be built. It's got to be incorporated in your life. And the way the kingdom of God works is that God only works on receptive hearts. God only deals with receptive minds. God only is able to help receptive spirits. People that are open to the word of God and open to the change that God's going to build. Now, this is not an easy thing. How many of you suffer from nostalgia from time to time? How many of you think back wistfully on old things and the family things and the old homestead and the place when you were a kid? And you tend to romanticize that and you tend to make it bigger. It's a shock when you go back and it's so small. And it was so big, or the people you knew, they were so big, but when you really meet them as an adult, they were 4'6", you know, and they were giants to you back then. And so you kind of romanticize things in the past, the house of the familiar, with your mind, but when it's time to meet God and serve God and be built by God and have deconstruction and reconstruction going on in your life, you've got to turn loose of the old things. He takes away the first, that he might establish the second. Speaking specifically of the law and the church age, but it's totally applicable to everything we do. He taketh away the first, that he may, he takes away your first theology, that he can establish the true theology of God in your life. He takes away your first perception of the word of God, so that he can unveil the truth of the word of God in your life. He takes away your first attitude about people, so that he can give you a godly attitude about people. He takes away your culture. You hold on to that culture. It's precious to you. There's a tenacity with which people hold on to culture. But when you come into the kingdom of God, there's some wrestling that has to take place, some deconstruction that has to take place, because that culture's got to go. That culture's got to go. If that culture's nice to people, God will let that stay. If it's kind to folks, God will let that stay. If it fits, if it eats biscuits, God will let that stay. It just depends on what it is. But at some point, if it's in conflict with the word of God, that's got to go. That's got to go. That's got to go. If it's not like the word of God, it's got to be hewn out and cast away. Somebody say amen. Is there anybody here that wants God to have his way with you, to tear out what's not like God and to build up what is the kingdom of God in your life? Well, praise God. Praise God. So he says there's this process of building, and we're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The foundation is what the structure is built on. It's amazing. Quite often foundation, depending on the size of the building, the height of the building, foundation can take longer than everything else. But you're built on the foundation. I would say you're defined by the foundation. You are limited by the foundation. You can't be here and on the foundation and over here at the same time. That's called making a decision. You have to make a decision. If you're going to live for God, you got to be on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. You can't be over here in some ecumenical soup. You can't be over here in the middle of some culturally relative moderate, post-Christian, modernist ideology. You can't be over here in the middle of political correctness and lay down the word of God. God, just hold on. I'm going to come off the stone here for a minute because I've got friends over here that they don't like it when I talk like that and I believe like that and I don't laugh at their jokes and I'm insensitive and I'm not politically correct. They don't like that. Well, you can't have both. You gotta. If those friends won't come get on the stone with you, you've got to come back. You've got to get rooted and foundated on the stone of Jesus Christ and the apostles and the prophets. It simply means you've got to agree with the word of God. You are determined by your foundation. It determines your trajectory. It determines how high you can reach, how far you can reach. It limits you. It defines you, your foundation does. If you have a foundation in error, you can't ascend into the places God wants to call you. You've got to be built on the foundation that God provides. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24, Jesus teaches, and we won't finish nearly this morning. We'll just move on into it tonight. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 24. Turn to somebody by you, if there is anybody by you, and tell them, you need to build your house on a rock. Praise God. Now, it takes a little bit of time. It takes some years, actually, before you can see the full import of this. You can see it in history, but there's nothing like it when it goes off in your own life. It's like the night I got the Holy Ghost and I began to speak in tongues. I had a baptism of clarity. It was like I saw it and I read it and I understood it and I believed it. But when I got it, my God, it was real in me. And there was clarity there that I had not had before. But when you've been through some storms and you begin to look around and you see other houses blown about and savaged and turned upside down, and your life and your house and your dreams and what you've been involved in, they're still standing strong. Now all you can do is look down and say, thank God for the principles of the kingdom of God. Thank God for the foundation stone, the Christ and his word and all that he's given to us. Chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. This is a pervasive theology throughout the word of God. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. And so the word of God in your life, obeyed and embraced and faithfully attended to, is like having your life and your home and your family and your spirituality and your theology built upon a rock. He said, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Very, very clear, very striking. The storm's going to come to either house. The storm's going to come to all houses. Everybody's life is going to have a storm. Everybody's family is going to get a storm. Everybody's theology is going to have a storm. But I notice the distinction here. If I'm built on the tenets of the word of God, let it blow, let it rain, let it come down, let it howl, but it can't move me if I'm built on the foundation of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and they're having a hard time. And he lets them know in Matthew 21:42. He said, did you never read in the scripture, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. What he's teaching them there is that the Jews were the master builders. The Jews were given the responsibility of building up the kingdom of God. They didn't do it. And then when the Christ came, who was the cornerstone, they rejected him, all the while continuing to think that they were building up the kingdom of God. But lo and behold, they blink and 2,000 years go by, and Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone, and they rejected him. The master builders rejected the cornerstone. Isaiah chapter 28, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Everybody say a sure foundation. My God, I'm telling you, we are living in a troubled day. You know what the Bible says about our day? He says everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. And friend of mine, it would have shocked you 10 years ago if I'd have told you where we are right now. They're trying to root God and the Bible out of the military. The highest land, the highest office in the land is trumpeting the merits of homosexual marriage. I'm just telling you, everything is shaking. Morality is shaking. Understanding is shaking. There are so many spiritual dynamics moving in the land today. But I'm just telling you, if you're an apostolic, you just go right on being an apostolic. You believe and you embrace the things of God. You stand on the word of God. There's a storm here. There's a storm coming. But everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. Well, praise God. Praise God. I'm glad. Does anybody just feel like you're on an unshakable stone that God has introduced you to? A sure foundation. He that believes shall not make haste. Judgment I also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. Now, this is building language. This is specific to the building of that era of time. They built everything on a cornerstone. The cornerstone was perfect and square and level. All of its edges were perfect and pristine. And so everything's going to be built on that stone. The first thing laid is the cornerstone. And then everything vertical, everything horizontal comes off the fine lines of that cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. The foundation is comprised of the apostles and the prophets, or the Old and the New Testament utterances of God through his chosen vessels, the apostles and the prophets. And so that makes up this perfectly configured foundation that anybody can come and build a life on, or build a family on, or build a church on, if you would. Well, praise God. And he uses language like judgment with a lay to the line. He's talking about a line. Have you ever had an old timer tell you, you better line up? You ever heard that? That's a biblical term. You better line up. Well, that comes from this idea, judgment will I lay to the line. Brother Reggie, would you help me get that spool of twine? And Brother Ted, would you take the free end of the twine and just go as far as you want to go that way? Now, this is maybe difficult, because that if that doesn't unroll, the whole thing's shot. We're going to have a 5-foot demonstration. Okay, you go that way. And Brother Reggie, you come here and get a nice... a nice fit right along the edge here. I want you to touch this point, and I want you to touch this point. Okay, you're crooked. You got to move this way. Don't hold it down. The way you tell is when it's just about to clear and it's just touching it of its own accord. You got to move that way some more. I don't care who you got to walk on. Okay, a little bit back, about a quarter inch. Go ahead. Yeah, that's it. Perfect. Now go on back. You don't have enough. Go all the way back to the doors. I don't care if you went to Tucson, Arizona this morning. If you are perfect in these points, you would be perfectly in line. Let's say the pulpit is the cornerstone. You would be perfectly in line with, it doesn't matter where you travel in life, how far away you get from your roots and from your foundational experiences. If you maintain that same posture in regard to the cornerstone, your life's going to be right. You're going to be just exactly as the word of God intended for you to be. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. You need to line up. Now, there are going to be folks that are going to want to take you off and get you off in some other direction, to the right or to the left. But I'm going to tell you today, look neither to the right nor to the left. But you just keep your eye fast. That's as far. We won't put you out there in the parking lot. Okay, is he just about right? Okay. A little bit to this, to your left. Oh, That's just about right. See, we can tell from where you are because we're looking right at the stone and we're looking at something you've got your hand on here, and we can tell you exactly if you're lined up straight or not. When you're talking about building, there is implicit in that conversation the idea of a builder. There's always going to be a builder. Now, we're gonna give credit to God. God is the Father of lights, who is above, in whom there is no changing. There is no propensity to change. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from Him. He is the master builder. He is our deliverer. He is our Father. He is everything. He is the I am that I am. He's everything you're ever going to need. But He left. After the resurrection, and He left it in the hands of His disciples and His apostles. And when they left it in the hands of their disciples. And when they left it in the hands of their disciples. We've been walking this for 2,000 years. I'm glad somebody still had an idea of where the cornerstone was when it was my time to come into the house of God. I'm glad somebody knew where the foundation was. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. And so there's the idea of a builder, and you're going to have a builder in your life. Your builder is going to be the fivefold ministry. It will be a pastor. It'll be an evangelist. It'll be a teacher. It'll be a prophet. It'll be an apostle. But you're going to have a builder in your life, and somebody that'll say, you know, we had an old boy in the Baton Rouge church. I called him Simon Legree. He was a contractor. His name was Williams, but called him Simon Legree because he was hard on a job. Brother G.R., the guy had an eyeball from here to the back of that building. He could peg you at a quarter inch off. If you were off, he would just walk through and say, "That's a quarter inch off." And he'd be dead on. He'd be right. I'd be up there from where I was. I couldn't see it from on top of it. I knew it was a quarter inch off, but I thought nobody will see that from back here. But he would see it. But you want to have somebody in your life. You want to have somebody in your life that'll say, "Now that's getting a little bit off. That's not quite where it ought to be. Brother Ted, take a few steps over to your right there. Well, you know what? That's getting a little off. You need to move back where you were, son. You don't need to be drifting. Life is full of headwinds, and life is full of cross currents, and life will push you and press you, and life will turn you around and upside down. But when the dust settles, you reorient yourself by finding the foundation again and finding the cornerstone again. I've got to get reoriented. I can't tell you. You may get hit by a bus. An emotional bus, a family bus, a heartbreaking bus, a physical bus. I don't know, but it's like stepping out in the street and getting hit by a bus. But when you get hit by a bus, it's a real problem because you're disoriented and you wander around, and the chances of getting hit by another bus are really high. And I see people do that. They stagger off after a disaster, and they get hit again. The best thing you can do is while you're flat on your back, get that eye open, get your bearings, find the cornerstone. Oh, there it is. And before you even get up and try to move again, get your bearings. Know, okay, the stone's still there. The foundation's still there. Everything that was true is still true. The Word of God is still the Word of God. God's still on the throne. God is still in control. Everything's possible with God. I know if I can get back up on my feet, everything's going to be all right. People let me down and life will beat me up. But God is always going to be my friend. Somebody say praise the Lord. You get oriented back toward that stone and make sure you're right. Brother Daniel, there's a level over there. He said, "Judgment," and bring the plumb bob too. "Judgment I'm going to lay to the line and righteousness to the plummet." You know what he means by that? He's just telling you that when you're dealing with the Word of God and the foundation of God, everything on one side of the line is right. Everything on the other side of the line is wrong. That's the purpose of the line. It's either on the foundation or it's off the foundation. If it's on the foundation, it's right. If it's off the foundation, it's wrong. I don't have to question it. I don't have to twist my hands. I don't have to have a cry. I don't have to have a night of misery and wondering. I just know if you're off the foundation, you're wrong. If you're on the foundation, you're right. It's easy. It's muy simple. It's exactly right. All you guys are wrong. All you guys are right. And it's all determined by the line that he said, judgment I'll lay to the line. And what he means by that, the line is going to decide what's right and what, you know, we're here. There is no right and wrong in our world. There's only grays. It's relative. How you feel, what your circumstance is. Who am I to say? Who's to judge? Somebody better judge. God is the builder's going to judge. I'm telling you, I am here to represent him. I'm in hot water if I don't do this right. And so I've got to tell you, there is a firm and stable line. There is a way to be aligned. Bring your life into alignment with the cornerstone of God. And everything that's out of alignment is wrong. It's very, very simple. It's very simple. Now, and he said, righteousness to the plummet. And so, behold, a plumb bob. Okay. And so we could take a point out here. Typically, the plumb bob is going to be used for some vertical. Could you climb up here? No, I'm just kidding. For some vertical point above the foundation. But wherever we could find this point, this fine point on that ceiling tile above there, we could find exactly where it is within whatever the width of that little tip is, a 16th of an inch or whatever, because this thing is not going to lie. Wherever that touches that tile, if the base of that brass piece is touching right here, that's going to be the spot there. So no matter how far I go, no matter how high I go, I can always stay oriented toward the foundation and toward the cornerstone of God. As I'm building my family, it doesn't matter how big the family gets. As I'm building my career, it doesn't matter how big the career gets. As I'm ascending into the counsel of God and the service of God, it doesn't matter how far I go into the ether with God, because I've always got my eye on the foundation stone of God. He said, I'm going to put judgment to the line and righteousness to the plummet. It doesn't change because you get further along. He told Saul, he said, when you were small in your own eyes, you were obedient to God. You were responsive to God when you were small in your own eyes. But he ascended into the throne of Israel and he became arrogant and he lost perspective. And he said, from up here, it doesn't matter what that foundation stone is like. From up here, I've made enough money. I've got enough prestige. I've ascended to a place of royalty. Whatever your poison is, you can get to a higher place and think that you are somehow immune from the confines of the stone of God and the foundational principles of God. But you never graduate from those things. You never get to a place of success. You never get to a place where you've achieved so much that the things of God are no longer relevant to your circumstance. Well, praise God. That's true for a preacher. That's true for a daddy. That's true for a successful businessman. That's true for somebody at the zenith of their trade or their craft. It doesn't matter. However far you go, if you went a mile up, if we could do it in a vacuum, if you could go a mile up, where you held it and where it touched this point, that mile where you stood, this point would be replicated 1 mile up. You would be in perfect alignment with the cornerstone. And the operative term here is alignment. You want to be in alignment with the Word of God. Wherever you are, everything about you, your career, your relationships, in line with the Word of God. You're building something here. Your children, your marriage, in line with the Word of God. Whatever you lay your hands to, in line. My harvest, my crop, my farm, all those biblical analogies. Whatever I'm doing, in line with the Word of God. Whether I travel horizontally or vertically, this is my reference point. This determines whether I'm right or wrong with God. And it's an easy thing to look every morning and say, how am I? How am I oriented? What's my attitude with regard to the Word of God and the things of God? We've got a level here. I could tell you some of you are about a half a bubble off, but we don't have time for that. Let's stand together. Praise God. Praise God. If you love him, clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Praise God. Praise God. He said, don't you know that the stone that the builders rejected is going to become the head of the corner? These churches can quit preaching the truth if they want to, but they're still going to stand before God. And he said, and the books were open. Do you have any idea what that is? That's the word of God. You can say the Holy Ghost is no more, but you're going to stand before God and he's going to judge you for that. You can say holiness is no longer necessary, but you're going to stand before God and by the word, he's going to judge you for that. You can say, I'm tired of this, I want to have it my way, but God's going to judge you by his word. The word that you reject today is still going to be the head of the corner. You can't change that. God gave you free will. He gave you free moral agency. He gave you tremendous latitude to go and to do as you want. But you're going to meet God. You're going to deal with God. And as prosaic as it sounds, he's going to judge you by his word. It won't be some new extravagant formula that is relevant to 2013 because this is such a different day and we've got so many different things and oh, my children, they got to deal with so many pressures that we didn't have to deal with and their grandparents didn't. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. The word of God, static, never changes. Always performs the will and the purpose of God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, we're in a lot of different camps here today. Somebody just needs to thank God that your life is built on the word of God. Somebody needs to come to an altar and search their heart and say, God, see if there be any wicked way in me. Somebody needs to come and say, I got to get my house in order. I've got to get my house built on the word of God. There's a storm. Listen to me. There's a storm coming. Everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. This morning in theology, we were just talking about it, but it just seems so easy to see. We're coming to a place where Christianity, even in America, is going to be persecuted as in Bible days. Right now, they're trying to hustle the word of God and the things of God out of every institution. And really, in their hearts, they believe that you, your conservative views, your belief in God, all of that is the real problem today. As these things come down, you want to be sure you, your family, your babies, they're all standing on a stable foundation. Praise God. Come on down. Let's pray. Come on. If you're a visitor, come on, join with us. This altar belongs to you. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Come on, we're lively stones, we're fitly framed together. Come on, you're no longer strangers, no longer foreigners, but you are fellow citizens and of the household of God, built upon the rock. Hallelujah, 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 yes. Why don't you lay your hand on somebody or take somebody by the hand? Come on, we're built together. Covered by the blood, filled with the Spirit, called by the same name. Built on the foundation of the Word of God. Hallelujah.